Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. It's time for our daily Worldview Watch, trying to discern the times, learn how to think with your theology, be ready to engage this world with what the Bible says and what it means. And now on Thursdays, we always try to learn what the present means by remembering the past. You can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been, and Concordia Historical Institute exists as an organization in the Missouri Synod to help us remember where we came from and put that to use going forward. Today we're going to begin a three-part series to air over the next 3 weeks with Mr. David Fiala of the International National Mission side of the Missouri Synod, and I believe your position officially is a recruiter.
Correct.
Yes. So your job is to work to bring in missionaries to go overseas, and maybe we'll hat tip to that at the end. But you also are connected with Concordia Historical Institute because you've written an article for them in a recent journal. They put that out quarterly, and it all has to do with something even more valuable, our Lutheran Catechism, which is a particular hobby and interest of yours. So we're going to be talking about what that means, mm-hmm. and how it came about, how it's been used, how it's changed, what we got now compared to what we used to have, all of the above. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So before we go into the history of the catechism, what started your own interest in it? I mean, the listener can't see this, but you got a pile of catechisms you brought in with you and various historical versions that clearly, I don't know, is that top one a facsimile? I have one like it.
Yeah, it's a facsimile of the 1531 edition.
Right.
So I think it was put out in like the 70s at one of those cool anniversaries of the publication of the catechism.
Right. I have one of those too because I also collect catechisms, but I want to know, you know, when did you start doing this? I'm a pastor, so it's okay to be a geek this way. And you're not a pastor. You got no excuse.
Oh, I do have an excuse. I'm a DCE.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So, yeah, the catechism has been, obviously, growing up in a Lutheran home, it's been a huge part of my upbringing. And I reflect on this sometimes of what a terrible student I was as a child and how much of the catechism I didn't actually understand when I went through confirmation class. And this was back in the late 80s when it was like, hey, your parents are members, your older brother and sister went through this, you're going to go through this. And because I went to the Lutheran day school, it was actually my religion curriculum during 7th and 8th grade.
Same
was catechism class.
Yeah.
And I remember that when we were actually confirmed on that Sunday morning, there was this whole other group of kids who were in the pews with us. And I'm going, who are these kids?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they were the midweek students who didn't go to the local Lutheran grade school. And I was just like floored that such people even existed. I was just seriously, the blinders were on when I was a kid. I had no clue of the world going on around me. And I think that really impacted my ability to absorb even the content of the religion classes.
Right. My experience in some ways was very, very similar. And as I've thought about it over time, I've kind of realized that catechism taught in the day school to me, whatever was going on with TV and pop culture and athletics, it basically just became another part of school.
Yep.
And I didn't see it as anything different than that.
Yep.
So I treated it like school, which meant study for the test, pass the test, forget what you learned.
Exactly.
And it, strangely enough, I don't want to knock it too hard, but it served me well that later, after I fell away from the faith and came back into the faith, it was amazing how much I did retain,
mm-hmm.
how much I did know.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, if you'd used that word catechism and said, do you want to go study it? I would have said, heck no, keep it away from me. That's school.
Yeah. I can identify with that. I don't know that I had an aversion to it. I never had this crazy falling away from the faith. For whatever reason, the Lord kind of kept his hand on me and kept me on track for the most part, thankfully. And he used lots of people to do that in my life. And I do remember as I was working on this paper, I shot an email back to my childhood pastor, who is currently the district president for Northern Illinois, Pastor Dan Gilbert.
Yep.
And I said, now, the book that we used when I was a kid for catechism class, I've been doing some research. Was that a CPH book?
Hmm.
And he wrote back and he's like, well, no, it wasn't.
Uh-oh.
And no dogging on Pastor Gilbert. There's some really good explanations for why he chose what he chose. And you have to think historically to really get it.
Hmm.
When I was doing catechism, it would have been 88 and 89. which, if you know anything about the production of catechisms by Missouri Synod, that was at the cusp just before the production of the 1991.
All right.
The only available catechism CPH had produced for use at that time, first of all, the 1986 version of the Small Catechism was available, because that was available as of Synodical Convention 1986, but there was no explanation text prepared,
which is
yet,
that back end question and answer part, yeah,
which is what the article in CHIQ is actually about. It's about the history of the development of those explanation texts,
okay,
and my research about that. But it's also obviously connected to the text of the catechism itself, which I learned a ton about when I was doing research on it. But anyway, back to the story. The book that our pastors, and it wasn't just Pastor Gerber, we had another pastor at the church, Brian Truog, and they selected to use this particular book because it was written in modern English, the question and answers in the back. And I still have that book. I didn't bring it upstairs with me, but it's in my cubicle downstairs. And there are pages in it that are just crossed off. Like the pastors must have said, on this particular page, don't read this page. So what did we do as 7th and 8th graders? Big black X.
Yeah, right.
We don't need to read it. We're not going to look at it. So obviously they were in tune with the actual content of that book. And I believe it was produced by some Wells pastors.
Okay.
So it was on the more conservative side,
yeah,
of things. But there were obviously stances that Missouri has that Wells doesn't have, and they just were going to steer clear of those that were Wells influenced. So, I mean, they took a more modern resource, and it was good. And I held on to that book, and even when I was teaching catechism, I would sometimes use the Missouri Synod systematic breakdown of explanation, and I would then cross-reference it with this, because the Bible references that these guys dug up to support this and such position were sometimes different than the ones the Missouri Synod folks picked up. And in my experience as a teacher of the catechism, I was actually overseas as a missionary, and the kids I were teaching were not Missouri Synod Lutherans. They were many of them non-Christians, some of them members of the Evangelical Church of the Augsburg Confession in the Slovak Republic.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And so they didn't care what resource I was teaching out of.
Right.
So I had the ability to kind of flop back and forth. And mostly with them, it was, what's the strongest biblical argument? And if I was pulling from two catechetical sources, I could build a stronger biblical argument to support the systematic theology that was there in the Small Catechism. So thanks to, you know, my upbringing, I had this extra resource. But then in the conversation with Pastor Gilbert, it was like, yeah, we just couldn't see using the 1943 edition any longer.
Yeah.
And my brother, who is 4 years older than me, when he went through catechism, I inherited his book, and it was the 43.
Yeah.
So they had made that decision sometime in the 4 years that were in between my brother's confirmation and my confirmation. And anyway, so we all have this story of which book we used when we were confirmed.
But you're opening up the history there a little bit, and I'm going to try to come right back to that after I ask you the question. So you are a child of Cross Yorkville?
Correct.
Okay, so at Bethany Naperville, when I coached basketball, you guys were our nemesis. Like, we were always about the same level in terms of our record, but regularly you would beat us, except for one time in the playoffs where we took you down, and I felt pretty good about that. Just want to let you know.
Well, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I've been to your home congregation, and I know the beautiful gymnasium they have there quite well.
See, that was all after I was long since gone.
Gone.
Yeah, we had that old gym that you could get, like, one round of folding chairs around.
Yeah, right,
and
right.
And everybody was tripping over the chairs during games.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, Schaumburg still has.
Yeah.
There's another congregation up in that area. So my experience with kind of the history you just touched on is that, I would have probably been trained. I don't know what resource we used. I know we had to have been connected to the 1986 catechism itself. Yeah, it would have been 1991, 92 was the eighth grade year. Yeah, so it would have been, I think we did use that. Now it's 1991 explanation. Yeah, you got it right there,
it's
the blue one. Yep.
It's not the old blue one, not the 43 blue one.
And that's what I was going to bring up, is I found then in college a copy of, it had to be my mother's old blue one, which was the 1943, and I was like, what's this? And I pulled that thing out, and I looked at it, and I noticed how similar they were,
mm-hmm,
and yet how different they are.
Yep.
And then I began to look into the goal was to update the language, but also to update the questions. And then I found out that, like, even when I would recite things, my parents sometimes had a different memory. And this is one of the big issues, is like, did we make good decisions? We left some good things behind, I think. And this is the whole point of this conversation now, is,
yeah,
When did this happen? Why did it happen? How does it affect us today? And now we're about to do it again.
Correct.
With a new explanation coming out.
Correct.
Any response to that chaotic story I just threw at you?
Well, yeah, and that's... We were in... Okay, so I... When we first came... Okay, I got totally back up here. My wife and I, we served as missionaries overseas for 10 years. We came back to the States about 2.5 years ago. And when we came back, we bought a house close to the International Center in a community called Shrewsbury, not too far down 44. And we picked up the local LCMS church, the Lutheran Church of Webster Gardens, which is located in Webster Groves, Missouri. They had an elementary school connected to the congregation, Christ Community Lutheran School, CCLS, for anybody who knows the St. Louis area. And our children were going to school there. We visited that church one Sunday morning, the first Sunday we were back in the States. And I remember sitting through worship in English, and there were just tears in my eyes. After having been gone for so long and hearing hymns that I fully understood what was being sung, and the gospel, I fully understood what was being preached, and it just brought tears to my eyes. I don't know if you're familiar with their current building at all, but they have behind the chancel area a big stained glass window that has just beautifully done images of text of scripture. So they have, some of it is Hebrew, some of it is Greek, some of it is German, some of it is et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and on down to the English. So they're just kind of tracking the transition of God's word and making it into the common tongue. And for us today in America, that happens to be English. And I stared at that because I had been surrounded for 10 years by a foreign language.
Right.
Foreign to me. And you don't always get the gist. I mean, you can get, okay, you get the gist, but you don't get the nuance. And coming back to America after living abroad for so long, having just that flood of emotions going, I understand every syllable of every word that's coming at me. And it was just this bombarding of information. And we went to the Bible study that was taught by Pastor, I guess, Reverend Dr. Professor Joel Bierman of the St. Louis Seminary. And we left that Sunday morning, and Roderick and I were in the car driving back to, we were still living in seminary housing where missionaries can live during their transitional time until you get a house. So we're driving back to the seminary, and Roderick looks at me, and we're both looking at each other. Neither of us are saying anything. And I think Roderick says, so are we going to go visit other churches? And I went, nope, I think this is good. And we just went, we don't want a church shop. And it's just, it wasn't part of our relationship, our existence, that we're going to visit 20 churches and pick the one that we like the best. We went, no, we landed here. The gospel was preached. The Bible and whatever Bible study it was Bierman was doing at the time was done. And it was, you know, it's Bierman. It's phenomenal. And we went, yes, this is going to be our church home. And going to Webster Gardens then for the next 2.5 years, we ended up buying another house and moving south. We now live in Jefferson County, so we had to change membership because I wasn't going to drive all the way up to the city when there were like four other LCMS churches closer. We picked the one that's closest to home. That's now our home church. But listening to Bierman in Bible study so many times, he would, every once in a while, a question would come up and somebody would be like, well, we studied this in our catechism. And I'm looking and going, wait a minute, this is a grandma.
Right.
And the grandma was making reference to this
catechism. Oh, an even older one.
So this was the actual, this is the Schwann Catechism. And the way that it was worded, I went, okay, this is cool. And I just wrote my paper on all this. I get where she's coming from. And the wording, when they were, Bierman was asking people to recite the wording from this and such commandment. And the one lady said it like this, but the next lady said it like this. And then some of the younger crowd said it like that. And we have these variances in our collective memories of what does the catechism actually say?
And that, I'm going to have to cut you off because we're going to run out of time, but we're going to pick up exactly there next week with Historically Speaking on why is it important to know about the differences in our past catechism? Well, because in theory, we all say the same thing. Well, do we? And I think the answer ultimately is yes, but we want to be careful and guard that as well as learn to discern the times. This is Worldview Watch, Historically Speaking on KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Hey, universe. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and it may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but either way, I do look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.